from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It is August 27th, 2024, and we are live in our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard, about three blocks from Nationals Park. Austin Eckler, as Earl just told you, will be on the show today at 3. We're excited to talk to one of the 53 Commanders who's going to be making the team officially this afternoon. And we are giving away great tickets to go see Kevin Hart when he performs live at DAR Constitution Hall at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. That's 2 hours from right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Ruye.
My God, that's Danny's music. Miserable today. It's back. We had our fall teaser trailer last week, and now we're back to hot and schwitzy. It's going to be worse tomorrow, but whatever. We're doing football stuff.
Don't you just like a nice reminder of what it could be like around here if it were nice all the time?
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice to know what it could be like if you lived in a place where the weather was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And then you get slapped in the face with
just smacked. I mean, as soon as I came outside this morning, I go, oh, no. Oh, no. It's bad. It's gross. But matters of football to attend to, my friend. The waving, the roster cuts, whatever you want to call it, it's fast and furious around the league.
Certainly is. We will give you all of the proceedings on the Commanders front and around the NFL as the day goes on. We'll get to that in 1 minute. I do want to say thanks to all the listeners who came up and spent some time with us yesterday at the ballpark.
Yeah, very cool.
We got to chat with a bunch of you, and it was just cool to be out and about and watching baseball on a pretty exciting night at Nationals Park. Dylan Cruz, in his debut, went 0-for-3 to draw a walk. Was clocked at 94 miles an hour with a throw from the outfield, so showed off the tools a little bit in right field. He will play in his second game at Nats Park against the Yankees tonight. But thank you to those of the listeners who came up and spent part of their day at the ballpark with us over in the left field concourse in the red box.
The teeniest, tiniest bit of tooting our own horn here, if I may. It's stuff like this is really cool. We try never to take it for granted how cool it is, what we get to do and the like. Multiple people yesterday, unprompted, and this is so nice and flattering and awesome, and it means a lot, told us that they are Nationals fans because of us. I think the Nationals probably had something to do with it, like them winning some games.
I'll give Juan Soto, Anthony Rendon, Trey Turner, and Max Scherzer some credit too.
But if you want to also put us in that group and like give us credit, like, do you know what I mean? Like, in a way, no, I'm kidding. But they said that.
Who has more World Series rings as a National?
Same number.
Juan Soto or Danny Ruye?
Equal.
Okay.
Equals.
You get what I'm getting.
I smell what you're cooking. But stuff like that is just so cool. All we're just a couple of baseball dorks that love it too. And I'd never take it for granted that there is a team in my hometown when that seemed impossible for still the majority of my life. So it's awesome, and that means a lot. So we appreciate it.
As news trickles out on Commanders being released on cutdown day, they're gonna form their roster over the next 90 minutes or so. Dan Quinn's going to speak in a couple hours. We're gonna have his Zoom press conference for you on the show today. As we get closer to 5 o'clock, right when it concludes, we will play it for you in its entirety, clean it up, make sure it sounds good. But we're going to, as news keeps trickling out, cut by cut, we'll pass it along, and we'll discuss in more detail the guys that are more relevant to you, our listening audience. And I want to start the conversation there. KJ Henry got cut today. Mm-hmm. Fifth-round pick out of Clemson. Was drafted by the Rivera-era Marty party, but had a strong camp. When I was out there, I was always impressed. And in the preseason, he was pretty constantly being called His name was being mentioned a lot. He had a sack. Now, there was nothing impressive about it in that he came free. It was a blown assignment by New England. He was unblocked. But he was the one that hit Jacoby Brissett when he got up grabbing at his shoulder and left the game with an injury in the preseason finale against the Patriots the other night. A little bit surprised by this. Probably really good news for Javonte Jean-Baptiste out of Notre Dame,
yep,
who was a seventh-round pick by this group. Obviously good news for Jamin Davis in terms of the holdovers from the Rivera era as well. But I think you're going to see this in a lot of the bubble decisions. Who brought you here?
Yeah, when in doubt, that's where you lean.
Were you the last group's guy or you are a guy? And that's how it probably should be. They're building something in their image. I do think Henry will stick around if he doesn't get claimed. Look, how often do we talk about this, Danny? Every single year, I feel like we do the same exercise. You can't afford to cut that guy. He's going to end up on somebody's roster, and then almost nobody ever gets signed to anybody's roster. I would say he's right at the top of the list of players with a chance to be, but I always just kind of assume you'll be able to sneak whoever you want onto the practice squad. For a team like this that isn't that good, where there's plenty of roster battles, frankly, where like whether the guy ends up on the P squad or the active roster doesn't really make a lot of sense. They're interchangeable.
Yeah, this is not one of those positions. Now, defensive tackle is one where I go, whomever they move on from. And by the way, I saw a report that John Ridgeway might be available via trade, that maybe they let some teams know that. But because if you move on from Ridgeway, you move on from Fedarian Mathis, who I know hasn't shown a ton, has been injured a bunch, but still, second-round pick who's got some talent, a lot of those guys would be signed, would make an active roster. That defensive end spot, respectfully, is not that. They make a lot of KJ Henry. There's seven or eight of that guy right now that's on the waiver wire somewhere. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. It's an NFL player. But
I just think he plays with a lot of effort.
I like him.
He's got a motor, and he's got some traits, like athletic tools.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a four-star. I think he might have even been a five-star at one point.
Yeah, he was a super highly touted guy, I think.
That doesn't happen out of high school into college if you don't have some legitimate tools in the belt, so to speak. I just think when he gets a chance, he plays well. I thought in the second half of last year he was pretty good, actually. Didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks the part. But I guess my point is that it's not like they just let some double-digit sack guy walk. It's not like they let somebody that was going to step up and play huge here. How much worse are you with Dante Fowler getting reps, or Cleveland Farrell, or Davis on a position conversion? It's probably six, one half dozen of the other.
What is a double-digit sack guy? I'm not familiar with that.
So this is a great question, because you haven't seen it in a long time. What happens is, let's say that NFL season occurs.
Okay.
So how many games? You know this.
17 games.
A guy will oftentimes do what's called rush the passer. So the guy drops back.
He's the guy that runs after the quarterback.
Yeah, so someone, instead of handing it off, which is the running back, the quarterback will drop back. He wants to throw the ball.
Yeah.
One of your guys, now this is the team that you like, will tackle him behind the line of scrimmage.
Oh, like Ryan Kerrigan used to do.
He used to do that. And if you get...
So like a Dexter Manley, Charles Manley.
In that vein, yeah. Mm. And you get a guy that does that semi-frequently.
Okay.
Maybe every 1.1 games on average. You can get like 9, even 10 double digits sacks.
Whoa, one guy?
One guy can.
I just don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you, I've seen it.
Do players do that in 1 year in the league?
Pretty routinely, I would say. Yeah, especially in this passing era. Guys are doing that all the time.
That is pretty amazing.
Not here, though. You know what I mean?
No, not here. A Martavis Bryant, wide receiver. Some thought that maybe he was going to be the sixth guy in. He has been released today. It was reported, and this is a tell generally that it came from the agent, that if he gets through waivers, he will be on the practice squad, which makes a ton of sense. And you could tell they like him.
Yes.
He caught a touchdown late with a couple of minutes left against the Patriots, and Adam Peters is running over to hug him, and a bunch of his teammates are greeting him out on the field, hopping around, going crazy. That's how you know a guy is popular in the dressing room, and that players are rooting for him, that the staff is rooting for him. It's been 10 years since he was really good. It's been almost 7 years since he caught a pass in the league. So it'd be an amazing story if he could get back on the field. I actually thought he might make the team.
I did too, actually.
Just because of the lack of size in the room. But I will say, Danny, that if you look around the NFL, there are wide receivers all over the place getting cut today who have performed adequately at the National Football League level way more recently than Martavis Bryant, who have size, who are also getting cut. Guys like Noah Brown in Houston with the Texans. Former Cowboy, was there when Dan Quinn was there, who's made over 70 catches the last couple years, had 500 yards last year. He's big. He's 6'2", 215 pounds. He'd look good, as far as I'm concerned, in burgundy and gold. I saw that Terrace Marshall, former second-round pick,
yep,
is only 24 years old. Has been a huge disappointment, but maybe a change of scenery could help him. He's a guy at 6'2" that the Panthers cut today that hit the wire. So it's easy to say Martavis Bryant comes back on the practice squad, but there are probably not six wideouts on this team that are better than some of the guys being cut by good teams. Mitchell Tinsley is an example of a guy. He didn't dress most of last year, was on the team, but never caught a ball or was targeted. He got cut today. You could bring him back on your P squad, or you could probably just try to grab somebody with second in the waiver wire. Remember, only the Panthers. That's the only team gets to pick and choose between the players getting cut before Washington does. So my guess is they bring in a wide receiver from outside the building.
You would think so. And I think everyone, a lot of people around the league are probably watching what Houston does. They got a pretty deep receiver room over there, right? Where they've got, they added Stephon Diggs to Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Drafted a couple guys over the last couple years, too, that could probably help them. So like a Robert Woods, for example, who, you know, is a veteran who they might say, hey, let's do right by him. Or maybe let's float something up the flagpole. Maybe you can give us a conditional late round pick for him or something like that. A guy with some pelts on the wall who's probably not as isn't as explosive as he was a couple years ago. That's an intriguing name to sort of monitor and watch. Denzel Mims, a former high draft pick with size, just got cut by the Jaguars. The point is, as you said, there are going to be opportunities probably to slightly improve that room. I don't think the major move is coming. You and I both theorized that. Don't want to speak for you, but I don't think that big trade, that home run, that T. Higgins, that Brandon Ayuk is coming. But that marginal improvement, that fifth guy out of six that's cut by someone else with a better room, that might be happening.
Today is a no news is good news day. There are players that'll just sit by the phone. They'll try to stay busy and put something on their schedule, go see a movie or go to lunch with a loved one or something. But you're just waiting for your phone to ring. You don't get a call generally to tell you you made the team. Very, very rare, but occasionally does that happen when it's a cool enough story that maybe the team wants to record it or do something fun with it. Most of the time, you just keep hoping no one calls you and you get to show up at the building for practice this afternoon, which they're going to have much later than they normally do. I say that to say, at least publicly from what we know, Jamison Crowder's phone has not rung. Doesn't sound like we have any news yet on Bryson Tremaine, the former undrafted free agent out of Stanford. Kaz Allen's name has not been publicized as having been released. Byron Pringle, all those back-of-the-roster wide receivers. So we're still waiting to figure out exactly what the Commanders decide. Any other surprises before we move on to the other news of the day for Washington? As far as cuts so far that have been publicized?
I wouldn't say surprise, but interesting to me. A couple notes. One, another couple names from the 2023 draft, which didn't go particularly well. The guys at the top, Forbes and Quan Martin, are going to be here. Martin looks like he might be able to stick, but there are a couple other candidates there. Be they Braden Daniels, maybe Ricky Stromberg, who might also be candidates. KJ Henry now gone.
There was a report today they're trying to trade Stromberg, which then I would say good luck. And they're also apparently dangling Cole Turner in trade conversations. And they should. Like, if you're a good front office, if you're an executive who knows what you're doing and Adam Peters qualifies, before you release a player, you should make 25 phone calls. Why not? Hey, what are you looking for? Where are you at on the waiver wire? You're 19th? You need a guard? I got a guy. I got Ricky Stromberg. So they'll see if they can get any of these guys traded. I often hear people say, Danny, well, why would I trade for someone if I know you're cutting them? And it's because if you're low down the waiver order, you don't have a chance.
You might not get them.
Potentially. So if you really want someone or you like someone, you've probably put out a feeler to Adam Peters already saying, hey, if that guy's not going to make your team, give me a call. And that's kind of how that starts. But I don't know that they have a whole lot of talent in the way of players that other clubs are lining up for to acquire via trade.
Yeah, just again, to that end, via the 2023 draft, Chris Rodriguez, they let go.
What didn't they like about him? I mean, my goodness. He was practicing as like the last running back through drills. It was Robinson, Eckler, McNichols. Wiley supplanted him pretty quickly. They started using Kaz Allen in these preseason games, a wide receiver who hasn't been able to make it at that position before they were giving Chris Rodriguez touches.
Yeah.
He's just not their guy.
They did not seem to be a fan for whatever reason. And to me, like, he's not the style that I would go after, but he's got a little bit of the things that I like, but I want a lot of the things that I like.
Here's what I know about Chris Rodriguez on the field. When he played, he had some success.
He was pretty decent.
He led the team in yards per attempt last year. Mm-hmm. And in the preseason, last year, he was excellent. Now, it wasn't quite as good this season. He had a couple of his best runs, I think, were called back for penalties, as a matter of fact.
Caught a couple passes in the third preseason game.
He did.
Looked decent.
Yeah. Wasn't their guy. And that's going to be a reoccurring theme. McNichols, they brought in, may make the team. I think Wiley, who they did release today, the undrafted free agent from Arizona, is someone to monitor on the P squad.
Agreed.
He's got game. I like him.
There's a burst there
for them than Rodriguez.
I wonder for Rodriguez about pass pro, just in you know, lining up in shotgun pretty much every time, which it seems like that's what they're going
to
be doing.
He's huge. I mean, if he can't do that,
he's a Maurice Jones-Drew kind of low to the ground bowling ball kind of guy.
He needs to get better at that. If that is a problem, and I don't know that it is,
I speculate. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying though, he's way too big for that not to be a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're already going to have some issues with some of the teams that want the shifty guy who has wiggle. When you're that frame of a running back, you should be able to pick up linebackers. But regardless, he's out. Defensively, I don't think there have been any real surprises outside of KJ Henry. The one story that caught my attention today was you and I were discussing the D-tackle position, where Allen and Payne are their starters. They drafted Johnny Newton in the second round, and they've got some other down-the-depth-chart veterans who have played really well, like Benning Potoaie. The question was, who's going to make the team between Fidarian Mathis and John Ridgeway? And I'm sure you saw that several of the beat reporters today were saying that John Ridgeway's on the trade block. I don't know that that means that he's the guy getting cut, but it stands to reason that if they're not saying Fidarian Mathis is on the trade block and they're keeping one of those guys, maybe it would be Mathis.
So if you go I'm making this up, sake of argument. You go, one guy is six, the other guy's half a dozen. There might be more interest for Ridgeway than for Mathis, who hasn't been healthy and hasn't really played. But if they go, you know what, we'll get the same production, we might get something for Ridgeway, then we'll pull that trigger. I bet you if they don't get a Ridgeway offer that is acceptable to them, then maybe they, you know, try to put Mathis on the P squad or something to that effect and roll with Ridgeway. But if you've got them graded pretty evenly, think they'll help you the same amount, then it becomes, you know, sort of a luxury, an extra thing, and you could spin that into an asset. A
couple of names I'm interested in finding out the fate of are Derek Forrest, who 2 years ago, the safety from Cincinnati, was a starter.
Yes.
And in fact, was making plays, generating takeaways, huge thumping hits in the secondary.
Like flew around the field a little bit.
Yeah. I got to a point with him where I thought, as a mid-round pick, this is a guy who's going to be around here for a while.
It's a win, yeah.
He is now squarely on the bubble and I think has a real chance not to make it, depending on how many safeties they keep. Jeremy Reeves, who was an All-Pro a couple seasons ago, is another guy who's been fighting for a roster spot. It seems like that's his whole career as a special teams ace, but I would think you would keep him before Forrest. But those are two guys to keep track of today. At corner, one veteran who is out, reportedly, is James Pierre, who they signed, who played for the Steelers last year in the secondary and on special teams. They also cut Tariq Castro Fields, who they got on waivers season before last from San Francisco, who's been in and out of the building over the last couple of years. So a couple of the veterans have already found out their fate. And I like that they do that earlier in the process with some of those older guys with some pelts on the wall. Because maybe you can get your agent to start making some phone calls and seeing what's what.
So the way that I'd done, I mean, okay, who am I? But if I'd done my, right, when I did my 53, I thought Castro Fields would make it. So that I thought he would be in. So that kind of is probably good news for maybe one extra safety or, you know, somebody they might, you know, that might not have been a headliner right there. I thought Fields would make the 53. So I don't want to say that was a surprise, but that was one of those, one of my last guys in.
Dan Quinn will be speaking after the roster is submitted. 4 o'clock's the deadline. So we'll have all the answers on the 53 man over the next 2 hours. Then Quinn's going to talk. You'll hear a big chunk of that conversation coming up today right here on Grant and Danny. At 5 o'clock. Remember, Austin Eckler is on the show with us in about 40 minutes at 3. Next, let's talk about the artist formerly known as FedEx Field. There's a brand new name for the same old stadium in Landover, Maryland. You're listening to G&D.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are live all over the DMV on 106.7. You can watch the show. We are streaming live via high-definition video on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page as well. Austin Eckler stops by at 3, a half hour from right now. And at 4 o'clock, we're giving away those tickets to see Kevin Hart when he comes to the nation's capital in September. He'll be at DAR Constitution Hall. Danny, you were talking about some of the Rivera draft picks who have already been released today. Just going through the recent drafts of the Rivera era. So Forbes and Martin rounds 1 and 2 are going to make this team. The rest of the 23 picks, though, last year, Stromberg, Braden Daniels, KJ Henry, Chris Rodriguez, and Andre Jones almost certainly will not make it. Jones, I guess we have not heard definitively, so I don't want to say that he's not going to be in, but there's a much better chance than not that they're 5 picks from rounds 3 through 7 will not make this team 1 year after the draft.
Mm.
That is staggering.
Yeah. Nobody from 2020 is left.
Well, 2020 is 3 years down the road. Let's keep going.
Oh, yeah, we'll go that way.
2022. Jahan Dotson's in Philadelphia. Bedarian Mathis squarely on the bubble. I guess he might make it after a big third game, but was on the outside looking in coming into the week. Brian Robinson is their starting running back, and Percy Butler's a guy who's been battling to make the roster. I think he'll make it with his speed and special teams ability. Sam Howell is in Seattle. Cole Turner expected to be released today. Chris Paul, unlikely to make the team. Christian Holmes no longer here. So what's the grand total there? If Mathis makes it, Mathis,
that's two from the 22
Robinson
draft,
and Percy Butler?
Yeah, it would be Mathis and Robinson. Yeah, there
Percy
you go. Yeah,
Butler.
Yeah, yeah, and Percy Butler. Yeah, there you go. Three.
2021, Jamin Davis, good news for him is KJ Henry's out. Sam Cosmi, new position, was drafted as a tackle. Now he's excellent as a guard. Benjamin St. Justin, this is a whale of a draft.
This is the win. Look at this.
The Marty party, flexing their muscles here. They took Jamin Davis in round one, and he's still here as a defensive end. Davis, Cosmi, St. Just, De'Ami Brown.
That's your number two receiver. Put some respect on his name.
John Bates.
Mr. Bates.
Danny, the first 5 picks they made are still here. What if Derek Forrest makes the team?
Then send Rivera his ring, as he asked.
That's 6 players in 5 rounds that will be on this roster.
Wow.
Now it gets a little tougher. Cam Cheeseman's the long snapper they traded up for.
Yeah.
Who struggled immensely. And, you know, Tress Way was like a shortstop fielding ground balls, so they eventually cut him. William Bradley King, Shaka Toney, and Dax Mill no longer with the program. Those are late round picks, though. But the 2021 draft, hard to call it a huge win because your first round pick at number 19 overall was Jamin Davis. But in terms of quantity,
yeah, some football players there.
That's a chunk of the roster. And then you wanted to go to 2020, Chase Young, New Orleans, Antonio Gibson, New England.
I'll stop you when you name a current commander. Go.
Sadiq Charles, just retired. Antonio Gandy-Golden. I don't know what he's doing at this point, but I don't think he's in the league. Keith Ismail, Kalik Hudson, Cam Curl, James Smith-Williams. Zippy.
None. None from that class.
What an unbelievable 4-year run for Rivera and the Marty parties.
But go back to 21, okay? It was really a good year. Really was. Send me my ring.
Don't forget that quote either.
Yeah.
I think there'd be less people poking at Rivera's drafts and how bad a spot he left the roster in if he didn't ever make that comment that you're referencing.
Well, who
was that to last year?
I don't remember exactly, but I was looking for it. But
was that in the John Keim like sit down after he was fired? Or am I making
that
up?
That sounds right to me. That's what it was.
If they make the playoffs with my 40 players that I brought in here, I mean, they might have 11 by the time it's all said.
When they win the Super Bowl, send me my ring. That regime, again, was so bad. for so many reasons. Some of it not Rivera's fault, by the way. Some of it not of his own making. The structure was broken from the beginning. That's a Snyder whatever type of construction. But the point of the dude's story here is what they always thought is they saw something that no one else did. And when you don't have any pelts on the wall, you're not that smart, you've never really done this at a high level before, they reached for their guy multiple times over. And every time they did that, it blew up right in their face. I mean, right in their face. Not down the line, not in a different office, in their faces. And it was always bad, and it was always glaring, and it was always obvious.
Would you like to play a game, Danny? Looks like you're in a mood where you'd need a game.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Are you ready?
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Darris Dameron, if you don't mind, it is time to play the game. I just thought of this game, actually.
Oh.
Today, we've never played this game before. The name of this game is this the name of a sports venue a DC sports team calls home?
Oh.
Or Kanye West's children? Again, the name of the game is...
Okay.
Is this a sports venue a DC sports team calls home? Or Kanye West's children.
Okay.
Northwest. Northwest. Is that a DC sports stadium? Or is that Kanye West's children?
I think... Is that what the stadium's called? Is that what they're calling it now? They're going to call it that? Just called Northwest? That's it?
Northwest Stadium. Were you not awake all day long?
Did no, I saw that. I saw that. Okay. But it feels like... are his kids really named that?
Wait, which one are you asking about? Is that what they're calling the stadium, or is that what his name's?
They're just calling it Northwest Stadium. I thought it was like Northwest Federal Credit Union LLC Field at FedEx Nubs or whatever.
Well, no, they're calling it Northwest Stadium.
East of the city,
correct?
Okay.
To get back to the game at hand,
okay,
that Danny struggled with a little bit, if I could say that.
I struggled a little too much with that.
That's both the name of Kanye West's children and also the name of the state.
Is that true, by the way?
I think he has a kid named North and a kid named West. Well, maybe his name is West.
Because I was going to ask if he had a kid named West West.
Isn't there a West West, or am I making that up?
I have no idea.
Or maybe it's South. Does he have a North and a South?
I don't know.
Darris, what can you tell me?
You now have me questioning. I don't know. I know there's a North. There's a North. Her last name's West. That's okay. All I know.
Wait, is that... I'm sorry. I know no one cares that you're doing a stadium thing.
But no, you're about
to. Is that
to
a
do
real
this.
Thing?
Guy, you can't do this thing. You know that's the name of his kids.
I don't know what his kids' names are.
Yes, you do.
I don't know what his children's name are.
They're brought up every hour on every.
By who?
Every dumb show ever.
The ones that I don't watch or see or pay attention to?
You just bump into it. I don't either.
I don't know who anyone is. I know Kanye West is. I don't know who anyone is or what anyone's talking about. That is a real thing? Is it like a newborn child is named North?
No, she's several years old at this point. It's him and Kim Kardashian's baby from like 6 years ago.
Oh, that's
ago.
Like forever ago.
Yes. This is something that's very commonly known. You're just the old guy going, say one of your words, son. Don't you say skibbity.
Skibbity.
Like that's what you're doing. You're like, hey, son, get over here. Tell these guys that something's lit.
Maybe I heard that somewhere. Maybe it rattled around in here. That felt like that was brand new to me. That felt like that was the first I've ever heard that, and I feel like we should be spending time on that.
We shouldn't be. Trust me.
So North?
The oldest kid is Northwest.
Okay.
Then there's Saint West.
Saint, so not South.
Not South, best. Right.
Okay.
So close, though.
And no West West.
No West West.
Not yet.
The other kid is Chicago West.
What?
Yeah.
Chicago West.
And then, I don't know how to pronounce this one. I'm going to say Palm West. I could be wrong, though.
What? How do you spell it?
P-S-A-L-A-M.
Psalm.
Psalm.
Psalm. Psalm West.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Psalm.
There we go.
All right.
I knew that.
It didn't sound like you knew it.
I think I did.
Palm.
I knew it.
I think he called it a palm. A
palm.
It's a part of a hand. I'll tell you where Darris isn't on Sunday morning.
I was like, tell me you go to church without telling me.
Exactly.
Switched on myself a little bit.
When's the last time you sat in a pew there, buddy? Palm.
We'd love to see you back in the flock on Sundays.
All right, thank you, D Daddy. Father.
Thanks,
thank
Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Love you, Dad.
Oh, the best, Dad. Northwest Stadium. How do we feel?
These are the kinds of things where I don't begrudge it. I'm not bothered by it. I'm happy for the people involved, because what ultimately it is the organization, the team, getting some cash. I can't do it. I can't keep up with it. I don't care about like what branding associated with the brand, and we're branding our equity and our marketplace and our market share. This will increase our synergy. I don't care about that sort of stuff. It's a terrible stadium. call it what you want. It's Nubs Field.
Well, but along those lines, I am really surprised, and I would even use the word impressed, that they got a deal done this quickly.
Yeah.
And not only that, they are going to make more money on this deal than on their previous deal with FedEx.
Which is wild.
The average reportedly is going to exceed what was approximately $7.5 million per year from FedEx. So you're approaching nearly $8 million per. And what a coup this is for the Hogs, the Harris Ownership Group and Company. Listen to this deal. The terms of this deal is reported today. It's an 8-year deal, okay? So if they are playing at the stadium through 2032, it'll be Northwest Stadium for all 8 of those football seasons. However, if, and I'm going to say when, but if they get a new stadium, Josh Harris had a press conference that I sat in on at the stadium on Sunday afternoon, and he projected 2030 as a legitimate, reasonable target for a new stadium. If they open a new stadium at any point during this deal, essentially, the contract's null and void, and they can get a new stadium deal with a different company willing to pay them more money, which would almost certainly
You would
happen.
Think that would happen, yeah.
And with all due respect to Northwest Federal Credit Union, you know, whatever that is, I see banks all over the place every day. That's not one that I see very often. Nothing wrong with it. Take what you can get. I guess Grant and Danny Field, we didn't offer enough money. That's fine. I don't think we had to reach the $8 million per year number.
We couldn't get up that high.
We got close. And Odyssey put up a really good fight.
Yeah.
What I was told, I don't know what your people told you.
Because the longer thing was, it's one half an Odyssey that you're on, and it's one half Audacious. And that was too long for the stadium.
Correct. And also, it was an audacious ask.
It was an audacious ask.
For $8 million from us.
Yeah.
Which we weren't able to give them.
Stadium comes the rewind function.
But $7.5 million per year was the old deal. They passed that. Awesome job.
Pretty amazing.
I mean, that's money. That helps. That's all important in this process.
As and it really is amazing that the whoever's in charge of that, of getting that sale done, again, good for them. This doesn't move me emotionally one way or the other. But where you go, you've already had the big boss, Josh Harris, stand up and say, we're looking elsewhere. We're talking about 2030 for the new stadium. Nobody likes it. No one wants to be associated with it. And yet here we are selling for a pretty good chunk of change in cash, someone wanting to be associated with it. Good for them.
I'm fascinated by a company saying it ranks dead last in every ranking among every NFL stadium. And in fact, there was a ranking recently done that I saw of every stadium in every sport. So it was the indoor arenas for the NBA and the NHL with NFL stadiums. And they ranked like 1 to 90 something. In the 4 major pro sports in America, and Northwest Stadium was dead last of all of them. That's not necessarily what you're looking for when you attach your name to something, obviously, but I guess it's the belief is, number one, you're getting on the ground floor. You think that the value is X right now, and it's going to be X plus in a year or two. You believe in Harris, you believe in Peters, you believe in Dan Quinn, and you know they're not finding their North anymore. They're finding their Northwest.
There it is. And you're not being associated, obviously your name's on the stadium, but it's less about a stadium association than it is about a brand association with something that's on the rise, a.k.a. the local Washington 53.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as you said it very well, the belief in the ownership group, the belief in the business and the driving. So all of a sudden, fans, if tens of thousands actually do go to the stupid stadium, then they see it. Television cameras, when they're there for everything, whether it be the regional Fox, the couple national games, nighttime games, whatever, all of a sudden, your name is right there. Less so about, like, we endorse this stadium. More so, we're associated with
just a visibility.
The football thing. It's
and
a visibility.
You probably don't have a chance if you're again, I don't want to make it out like they're some tiny company. They might be huge. I just don't have much of a file. But getting the naming rights of a stadium in the NFL is a big, 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 big deal. You're probably not going to be able to do that in a lot of cities where the organization's relationship to the community is healthier. So you're kind of opting in at you're buying in on something on the ground floor, in a sense. And it's a decent time to do that. We've seen other companies get in bed with the Commanders here over the last year or so when the going is not as good, but probably at a discount as well. And I would imagine that the Patriots or the Steelers or the Cowboys or something that AT&T, for Jerry's World, is paying a hell of a lot more than $7.5 million per year to be on that stadium.
Right.
Which is a factor. I also found myself thinking about the Nats still not having a naming rights deal for the ballpark today.
Yeah, hard to ignore that.
And the story on that has always been that the Lerners, the owners of the Nationals, have decided, and I'm just going to use the simplest amount of money possible, that it's worth $1, and they've gotten offers for 85 and 90 cents or 95 cents, And they're just not willing to accept that because they think it's worth $1. The problem with that logic, if that's really why there hasn't been a name, is you're now 16 years into not having a name. So if you do the math on 90 cents, hypothetically, times 16, you've missed out on a hell of a lot of money.
You sure have.
And if you could get, maybe it's not $7.5 million for a ballpark in baseball, although the difference between, you know, 10 football games at max and 81 baseball games, I'd imagine the money is actually pretty comparable, mm-hmm. but I don't know what I don't know. But the idea that because you can't get what you think it's worth, you accept nothing for a year or two, maybe, over almost 20 years, you've left a lot of money on the table. And it's just hilarious to me that the Commanders, at a point where a lot of people don't want anything to do with them over the last few years, they went 2 hours without a name. They were FedEx last year. They didn't even start the season without a sponsor this year. It took them a couple minutes to find one.
And they recognized the importance of it.
And the Nationals, in a brand new ballpark starting in 08, who have won a World Series, who were a mainstay in the NL for years, at no point have been able to strike a deal for naming rights. And it's just pretty amazing.
There's just this little thing, that just little voice in my head that says, if you think it's worth that, no one's giving you that, then it might not be worth that. That's just a funny little thing that I think.
Let's go around the NFL with some of the big news of the day. Cut downs happening for every single roster. We'll get you the latest from the Commanders out of Ashburn over the last few minutes, and some of the most prominent players now looking for work in the National Football League. That is next on G&D here on The Fan. A busy Tuesday on Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are live on 106.7 and on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. I'm rocking my brand new giveaway, Welcome to the Show, Dylan Cruz tee, with a Caps hat today. We're going all red.
That's a sharp look, if I can add that. I like that Capitals hat. What do you call that when the hat has a string on top of the brim?
It's like a white rope.
Yeah.
Where the brim meets the top?
Yeah. I don't know. Hat part, tall part? I don't know. I don't know what that style is.
I'm not a fashion guy.
Yeah, I clearly am.
I had a phone call today with someone who's helping me with my fashion.
What?
Yeah. Is that funny?
What? Wait, what?
So for Monumental Sports, you know that I moonlight on television.
Yes, of course. You're a television man.
I'll be doing some alt casts again for the Capitals this hockey season. And she reached out to me to just talk about my look.
Is that right?
What I wanted to present. And what kind of things I was hoping to possibly wear. She's like a fashion expert who works in television, who they have on staff.
Dude.
Yeah. So she was asking me questions. I didn't know what she meant.
Well,
your
guy's right here. I can help you.
This is true. But there were lots of questions, of which I had little answers. She's like, what's your style? I said, my style would be like black polo, khaki shorts.
She's like, your style is like whatever my wife picks out.
Exactly. She's like, so when you go shopping, where do you go? I said, I got to be very honest with you. I haven't bought anything for myself on the fashion front in many, many years.
Did you tell her the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shirt idea?
Yeah, exactly. We didn't get to that. But that's if you know me well enough. If I could just have t-shirts that said each day of the week, and I just wore 7 of them and then washed them and wore them again, that would be my happy place.
Got my comfortable blue, speaking of khaki, shorts on. I got my DTL down the line Fairfax t-shirt on. Shout out to DTL and Fairfax.
That has to be a pickleball thing.
It is a pickleball thing, yes.
I was worried, Danny, that you didn't have some type of pickleball garb on today.
I do. I do. Believe me, I do.
You didn't let me down. We've also got a little bit of an announcement to make.
Huh.
It involves the Show Fantasy Football League. If you want to be in the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League this year, you may want to listen to the double play coming up at 3:45 for some deets on Grant and Danny today. Big news on the Commanders front as far as who is no longer with the ball club. I would say notably Martavis Bryant at wide receiver, KJ Henry at defensive end, and then most recently we just found out that roster hopeful Bryson Tremaine, who had an outstanding training camp, did some good things in the first two preseason games. I thought he needed a big night and just didn't have it against the Patriots. Wasn't able to corral passes, make plays, got called for a penalty. Then he got banged up and was taken into the locker room with an injury in the final minutes of the game. Just didn't go the way he needed, Cole Turner needed, and those guys, because of that, could be on the outside looking in today.
Yeah, so this is a guy that started off like gangbusters, as you said, in training camp, and as the preseason wore on, maybe, I don't want to say fell out of favor, but that momentum cooled a little bit. I don't think he was fast enough for everything that they wanted to do. You want a guy with size, which he has, but I don't know that he has some of the quicks and explosiveness that they kind of need for that spot, which is interesting because there are no big receivers. There just aren't any, right? Their biggest guy that's still left, as far as we know, is Byron Pringle.
The Giants, speaking of receivers, cut Allen Robinson. Now, you only have to go back a few years to find Allen Robinson being excellent. That is not the case anymore.
No, it hasn't been.
He's bounced all over the place and just doesn't seem to be able to help anybody. But he's available in terms of receivers with some pedigree who have some size. Also, Isaiah Hodgins got cut by the Giants. Isaiah Hodgins has the same thing that Daniel Jones has. He's tested positive for, which is he plays amazing football against Washington and not very well against anybody else. But he's had some huge games over the years against the Commanders. Hodgins last year, 20 catches for 230 yards. But are you big? Do you play receiver? Are you 25 or under? If the answer to all three of those things are yes, I'm at least picking up the phone if I'm Adam Peters. Hodgins is 6'3", 200, been in the division, 25-year-old, who turns 26 this football season, was drafted back in 2020.
Yeah, 7 touchdowns over the last couple of seasons as a part-timer is not crazy. That's not nothing. Nothing to sneeze at.
You know who else got cut today? The Kansas City Chiefs cut Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, a couple of people have already tweeted us at Grant H. Paulson and Funny Danny. Is that a name you guys are interested in? I'm not, because to me it's very redundant to what they've got. If you need small slot receiver gadget guy,
yeah,
we got those. I need something different. But
actually, I got a surprising take on this. Darius, drumroll on this, please. Would I be interested in bringing in Kadarius Toney? Now, you said no.
Right.
And I think I have a surprising take, because I'm normally one of the guys that shuts this kind of thing down.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think I know where this is going, but I'm not going to spoil it. I think I know what's happening here.
Absolutely not. Not even a little
That's
bit.
That's what I thought. It was a rug pull.
Do you catch the football when it's thrown to you?
He doesn't, but listen. Okay. But wait.
Are you small?
Yeah.
I got enough of those guys.
Oh.
I'm doing the Kaz Allen thing where you play some running back and receiver. The idea of Kadarius Toney, greater than Kadarius Toney.
Coaches love this idea of someone like this. They can't stop drooling at the concept. But the actual Kadarius Toney shows up, and then it's like, oh.
The Patriots released kicker Chad Ryland. He a Terp. Why does anyone draft kickers? Stop drafting kickers! And especially in the middle of the draft. I don't care if you're Bill Belichick, so everyone tells you you're smart. Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco with John Lynch did it last year. Stop drafting kickers! It's such a bad idea. They all stink when they get drafted. Why does anyone do that?
Remember when the Bucks drafted, what was that guy's name? Aguayo?
Roberto
in the second round?
Aguayo.
Not as bad as the Raiders drafting a kicker in the first round years
Sebastian
before.
Sebastian Janikowski.
Old Sebastian Janikowski, but Roberto Aguayo in round 2 was tough.
Roberto Aguayo from?
Florida State?
Attaboy, Danny.
Here we go. Ring that bell. Ring the Florida State bell.
That's the Seminoles bell.
Yep.
They're still the Seminoles?
Well, now they're 0-1. The 0-1 Seminoles.
They don't do the tomahawk chant anymore, right?
No, they do very much.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's real interesting.
That's real interesting.
We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Austin Eckler joins the show next, live on G&D.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.